Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Praise be unto God. And I wish I could tell you that my beloved co-host is with me this morning, but unfortunately she is unavailable today. So I do ask that you keep her in prayer as always, as always. I will miss her and miss her terribly. So anyway, it is a great day to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a great day to say thank you, Lord, for have another chance, hallelujah, another chance to be before you, Lord God, and to do what you called me to do. I thank God for this day. I thank him for each and every one of you, for each and every one of you. So good morning to Tamika. God bless you, woman of God. Love you tremendously. May the Lord walk with you throughout this day. May it be a prosperous day for you. May everything you need, you receive it on this day. I pray provision in your life for today. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. God bless you. Love you much. Good morning to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to Anita. God bless you. Good morning to Michelle. Good morning to Joyce in New York. God bless you. Good morning to Rob and Isaiah. God bless you. Good morning to you. Good morning to Deacon Banks. God bless you. Good morning to Denise. God bless you. Praise be unto God. I tell you, I just love seeing all of you, you know, tune in on Saturday mornings. But good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to some of the new callers today will be women from my Bible study that I do here in the building on Fridays at 1 o'clock. And so to those that are already on, good morning to you. And there will be others that will be joining us. But good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I tell you, I thank God for each and every one of you. Good morning to Deacon Farr. God bless you. God bless you, man of God. And you know his show is Issues Christian Men Talk. Issues Christian Men Talk. I always encourage you to join his show. Have the men in your lives to listen to what men are talking about. Christian men are talking about the issues that men, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. All righty, all righty. We're going to go ahead and open in prayer. And I ask that you be praying with me. And, of course, this morning, as you're praying with me, also please pray for me in the name of Jesus. I am in serious need of prayer. I don't mind telling y'all. You know that I'm very transparent about, you know, when I need prayer, when I need help. And this is one of those days. This is one of those days. And so, you know, I just want y'all to be encouraged as we go forth in the Lord. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you. I honor you and I bless you. I magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord God, there is none like you. There's none like you, Lord. There's none like you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for your love, your tender kindness, your gentleness, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, how you kept each and every one of us through the night and brought us safely back here this morning. I praise your holy name, Lord God, that you have not forgotten about us in any way, shape, or form. You promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and that is what we hold on to, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we can trust you in all of our circumstances, Lord, no matter what they are, Father God, that even when, Lord God, doing what you would have us to do, Lord God, even when doing that, Lord God, makes it uncomfortable, Father God, I thank you that we can trust your word, that we can trust you, Father God, because you know what's best. I ask you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, to reach every single person on this line, all of their households, their family members, Lord God, their friends, Lord God, those that are connected to them. I ask you, Father, whatever the need is, that you, as Jehovah Rapha, our, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that you would provide every single need that we have, whether it be mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, Lord God, whatever it is, Lord, today we need you. We need you, Father God, like never before. But this is a new day, oh God, and we are asking, oh God, to provide this day, Lord God, our daily bread. What do I need to make it through the day today? What is it I need? So, Father, whatever it is, Lord, we are coming to you first thing in the morning and asking you, Lord God, to make those provisions, oh, Father. Lord, I thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, that those that are in pain, those that are sick, Lord God, Jehovah Rapha, come and be our healer. For you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed. So God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this line. I plead the blood of Jesus over every household that's represented here. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for the things that are going on, Lord God, in Ukraine right now, Lord God, the war that has been started there. Father God, help the people. Help those, oh God, that are truly the decision makers, Lord God, to make the right decisions. Help, Lord God, President Biden to make the right decisions where our connection is in this war, Lord God. Lord, this country, Father, help us. Lord, bless those key decision makers of our lives, oh God, our pastors, our city council people, Lord God, our people, Father God, anyone that's making decisions over our lives, Father, help them to make the right decision. Lord, help us all to walk, oh God, in complete integrity in everything that we do, Lord God. Father, I thank you that your word is just. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is honest, that your word is infallible, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for who you are. Lord God, this morning that we give you, Lord God, an unconditional praise this morning. Lord God, we reach out to you with the love that you have placed in us. We reach out to you, Lord God, in that love. You told us to cast all of our cares on you, for you care for us, oh God. Father, when we feel like, Lord God, when we feel like that nobody else cares, we know that you do. So we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, oh God. Lord, I praise you. I honor you. I bless you. I thank you again for this group of people on this line who are so supportive. Lord God, these people that come faithfully, Lord God, every Saturday morning. This group of people, Lord God, that are here no matter what. Lord, bless them in a special way. And I bless Minister Tabika, Lord God, in her endeavors today. Be with her. Keep her household. Keep them all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Wow, beloved. Wow, 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 wow. It's another day in the Lord. Again, you know, as Minister Tabika says, you didn't have to get up this morning, or even if you're still lying in your bed, you did not have to make this phone call and join us today. But you know, we so look forward to seeing your number. We look forward to hearing your voices. We look forward, you know, to the yays and amen, you know, that support us. And so, yes, I light up, you know, when I see certain numbers light up on my switchboard. And I'm like, thank you, Father. Thank you that they're there. There are people that are there with you, you know, no matter what. There are people that will drop off to the wayside. But the few that are here, and I can almost with my eyes closed know who is going to be there. And the two people that are the first two people that sign on every single week, you know, I know that they're there, and I am grateful. I am so grateful. So, Lord have mercy. God help us today. I've gotten so used to Tabika being with me that I almost feel like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? My girl isn't here. She's not here with me this morning. But I know that those of you, praise be unto God, that y'all will kick in and we will get our conversation going and let God be God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God this morning. So, okay. Last night I was looking at a ministry online last night, and lo and behold, the ministry was talking about integrity. They were talking about how it is that dealing with integrity, how it helps us in making decisions in our life. And the better decisions we make, the fewer regrets that we will have. The better decisions we make, the fewer regrets that we would have. And darling, as it is, we have the tendency to fool ourselves. We have the tendency to fool ourselves. And the easiest person to deceive is yourself. You're the easiest person to deceive, because before you can go about trying to convince anybody of anything, you have to fall into the place where you yourself are convinced about it, that you are convinced. And then this makes it easier for you to try to convince other people about it. When we make bad decisions in life, praise be unto God, it's part of the story of our life. Every decision that we make, that decision is what makes up our story. And you have to decide, what story do you want to tell? You know, our minds have the tendency to, you know, we have needs and we have wants. So let me say that again. We have needs and we have wants. Our minds have the tendency not necessarily to see to it that we get what we want, but it will work extra hard to get what we need. Now, hear me, beloved. Your mind will work extra hard to get what we need. So, therefore, when we convince ourselves, oh, Jesus, Lord God, help me with this morning. When we convince ourselves that we need something, and that something could be something or somebody, when we convince ourselves that we need that, the mind will work overtime to provide what you need. The mind will tell you what it is you need to hear in order to make you fight for what you need, okay? That for what you need. It is amazing the things that we tell ourselves in order to feel okay, in order to feel comfortable in what it is that we are saying and what it is that we're doing. So let me go first to the definition of integrity. And there are several definitions here. I'm going to give you this long thing on integrity first and then get some little spurts here. Integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethic principles and values. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and the truthfulness or the accuracy of one's actions. Integrity can stand in opposition to hypocrisy, in that judging with standards of integrity involves guarding internal consistency as a virtue and suggests that parties holding within themselves apparently conflicting values should account for the discrepancy or alter their beliefs. The word integrity evolved from the Latin adjective integer, meaning whole or complete. And in this context, integrity is the inner sense of wholeness deriving from qualities such as honesty and consistency of character. As such, one may judge that others have integrity to the extent that they act according to the values, beliefs, and principles they claim to hold. Integrity. Shorter version, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. Integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. It is the condition of being unified, unimpaired, and sound in construction. Sound in construction. Integrity. You can have the integrity of a piece of wood or a piece of steel, as well as what we're doing, you know, morally, having integrity. Again, people with integrity are generally known to be trustworthy, honest, and kind. Additionally, everyone should always strive to surround themselves with people who have true integrity, with people that have true integrity. So that is what we're looking at today, true integrity. Character will be developed, you know, as they go along. And there are character deficiencies that actually come from a lack of integrity. Where we are deficient in our character, that deals with our integrity. If a man has integrity and he sees a character deficiency or character flaw in his life, he'll say, I need to deal with that. I cannot let that flaw stay in my life. Now, beloved, listen, none of us are perfect. I repeat that again. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. We all have flaws. So one of the first things in dealing with integrity is to be honest with yourself. Are you telling yourself the truth about yourself? Are you telling it? Or are you fronting it? Are you, you know, trying to be one person, you know, in one place and somebody else in another place, and the two places that you are being different people, those are the people, or that is the person
those people that you're being that way in front of, that's who they think you are. But as you heard in the definition, not my definition, in what we read, you heard that a person of integrity is consistent. They are consistent. You don't have to worry about them being one way here and another way there. Now hear me when I'm saying this. This is dealing with moral principles and such. Because when I'm at work, when I'm doing ministry work, you know, I'm being a minister, an apostle, operating in the prophetic and so forth. So that's the way I'm being. When I'm being a mother, I'm being a mother. So, yes, I'm being a pastor over here and a mother over here. My moral principles don't change from one place to another. We have to put on different hats in different arenas. You know, you act one way at work, you act one way at church, you act one way at home, you act one way at social events, you act a certain, you know, whatever it's called for, but your moral principles remain the same. That's the consistency. That's the integrity. People will say, I don't care where so-and-so is, you can bet your last dollar, if you were a betting man, and of course we're not supposed to gamble, but I can guarantee you that that person is going to do a certain thing or is going to act a certain thing because that is the integrity of their character. Integrity is more than good habits that have been formed. We've seen people that had good habits, and then they go bad. And because even though they have good habits, they didn't have the integrity to undergird and support the good habits. You see, what's in us is coming out of us, thanks to God. What is in us is coming out of us, whether we like it or not. You know the old saying, some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. It's impossible to do. So integrity is the determination of your heart. Integrity is an unwavering determination in the heart to do what is right no matter what. To do what is right no matter what. Just let me pause here for a moment. I just want to say, those of you, you know, that are on this line, if at any point in time during the conversation you decide that you want to join in and say anything, please know to press 1 on your keypad and join in, you know, share your thoughts on this. When you dealt with things, I know that there have been things in my life recently, you know, within the last, you know, gosh, for a whole year or so, you know, the things that I have to deal with and doing what's right, or am I going to choose to do what's wrong that goes against the principles of what I really believe, you know, and doing things that are right in the eyes of God, doing things that may be right in the eyes of man. Am I going to please God? Am I going to please man? And, you know, so all the time, baby, every day, you have the opportunity to walk in integrity or not. You have that opportunity. It happens every day. We have choices and decisions that we have to make every day. And saints, I do want to say that when you are a man or a woman of integrity, when you walk according, especially if it's according to the word of God, when you walk morally upright, when you do this, you will have fewer regrets in your life. You will have fewer regrets. Everything that we do, every decision that we make, there is a consequence that comes along with it. And some of them don't feel good. Some of those decisions hurt. The thing is, am I going to do what is comfortable for me that will make me feel good, make me feel all right, am I going to do that if it comes against the moral standards that have been set up by God, not by man? Am I going to do what is right even though it makes me feel uncomfortable? Even though my friends may walk out on me, even though my spouse may totally disagree with me, even though my job, I might lose my job because of my integrity. My boss may want me to do something that is not legal, that's not right, and I choose not to do it, and I end up losing my job because I didn't do what they told me to do. Did I like the fact that I lost my job? No. Financially, it's going to cost me. My children are going to suffer because of it. I won't be able to pay bills because this was an unexpected thing that happened. I don't like being in that position, but I had the choice to make. Am I going to do the right thing no matter how it feels to me, or am I going to do what it is that somebody asked me to do, and I know that it's not right? We have a caller, praise be unto God. Your last four digits, 1816. Good morning, beloved. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Good morning, Apostle. How are you?
I'm fine, Prophetess Kim. I'm fine. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. I just wanted to chime in on what you were saying with integrity. Because one of the characteristics of God, like you were saying, is God is an integrous God. So as believers, we have to walk in integrity, and our standard is the Spirit of God, the Word of God, which goes beyond our own personal opinions, our personal feelings, our thoughts, and even sometimes our morals, because our morals can sometimes come from our background and how we were raised and how things are interpreted. But we must, like you said, do the right thing, which is integrity. And integrity is, even I saw a post someone said, I'm paraphrasing, that integrity is not how you behave when people are watching, but it's how you behave when no one is watching.
That
is a good measure of our integrity. And I had a situation, I shared it one time before with when Minister Tamika was on the line, where I was in a situation where there were things confided in me with a friend, but I realized that these things were not to the glory. Well, let me put it this way. What I thought was a vent really was toxic. And once I realized, God made me aware of what was really going on, I had to really pray about, okay, Lord, how do I move forward? Because now I'm in a situation where I've been told something in confidence from a friend, but then the bigger picture is I also have an allegiance to the head of my church because this is impacting other people. And it was a lot of warfare, I'm telling you, behind this decision. When you go to your bishop, the enemy just was, it was a lot. If you go to your bishop, he's not going to talk to you anymore. It was all kinds of things. But saying all that to say, because I knew ultimately if I didn't share with him, I would also be accountable for the damage being done, in addition to the fact that God is holding him accountable and he's one person, so he can't see or know everything. So I had to, share with him honestly what was revealed to me, and it wasn't a good thing, but I walked, and I'm saying to say, because even with the warfare, I said, you know what, God, whatever the consequences are, I know I'm doing the right thing, and I just have to share what I have to share and let the chips fall where they may. Of course, it didn't, none of that happened. And then he was actually very glad that I had shared with him, it just opened another door of another connection in our relationship and honesty and things. But I'm saying we have to, as much as possible, walk in integrity, because that's a reflection of our relationship with God as well. We can't just do any old kind of thing when we have the Spirit of God. We have to show or operate, like you say, with integrity, with values, the Spirit of God will correct us. He will tell us that wasn't nice or that wasn't right, or you need to make that right. And like you say, even when the consequences are not favorable, because now for me, the consequence in this case, well, truth be told, I really never had a friend, but the consequences were that I lost a friend, if you want to say that. That was the consequence or the fallout, but I had to operate in integrity. And then the bigger thing is, even now, I still have to deal with the people in church, knowing that things have been done, things have been said, not just to me, but about me, to many, many people, and about others. But yet, I still have to show the love of God, and I can't hold that in my heart against that person, despite knowing what I know. So, you know, it's not always easy. It can be a challenge. It requires a lot of prayer. And it really requires developing our relationship with God. When you have to sit with a person every Sunday, knowing what you know, and still smile and still praise the Lord. And I mean from a genuine place. I'm not saying doing it just because. I mean genuinely, I have the love of God. I have nothing against you. It takes, you know, it takes growing in Christ and maturity. But that's where we have to be, because I decided that I cannot let anyone, one, cause me to be displeasing to God knowingly or intentionally, and two, I can't let your issues cause offense in my heart that I'm now not pleasing to God as well. So that's the price that I had to pay in that particular situation, and we all get challenged, you know, with our integrity. It always is going to come up because the enemy is going to try us. Circumstances are going to come up that are going to challenge us, but I thank God in that instance I passed the test. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I am so grateful for you sharing that. I'm so grateful for you sharing that. And that is the thing, saints of God, is that as we mature in our relationship with God, as the Holy Spirit is working in us, praise be unto God, we are being transformed. And as we are being transformed, the things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. The things you used to say, you don't say them anymore. And there are people that are not going to be in agreement with you when you stand on the side of what is right, what it is that we should do. And people that you love, hear me, thanks to God when I say this, people that you love would rather put you aside than to walk in the fact of looking in the mirror and saying, I need to change something about me. I need to change something about me. They'd rather let you be or talk about you being the wrong person. And this is not so much about you're right, I'm right, he's right, she's right, whatever the case may be. And when we're doing that, that's according to our own principles or the principles that are set by the world standard. The only standard we are supposed to measure ourselves up against, beloved, is the standard of God. That is the standard in which we are supposed to live. We are raised, to whom much is given, much is required, okay? And we have to live at a higher standard than what the world lives in and what the world is doing. And Tim and I both have said, there's going to be some decisions that are made and that you're going to make that's going to hurt you and going to hurt the people that you're dealing with. It's not going to be uncomfortable, but the thing is, you're going to have fewer regret in your life when you do the right thing. God will see to that. You will have fewer regrets. You know, let me take this one. You have a young lady, she's a minister of the church, and one of the men in the church, you know, she and that man like each other. They're attracted to each other. They start dating each other. They end up having premarital sex. And then before you know it, she's pregnant. Both of them knew what was the right thing to do. Both of them knew. But both of them wanted to satisfy themselves and each other. So they went ahead and they did this. So the consequences out of this now is a baby that has been conceived and is out of wedlock. And unless you're doing an abortion, you're not going to be able to hide that. And if you do the abortion, you still got to deal with the spiritual consequences of that and the lies that the enemy will tell you about that. That's a whole nother story. If you say no, you got the chance of losing that mate. You have the chance of losing that person. So now what are we going to do? Are we going to do what the Word of God says? Are we going to do what we need to do to hold on to the mate? Are we going to do what we need to do because we want this as much as the mate wants it and this thing feels good to us? Are we going to do it? Let's say no pregnancy comes. Are we going to do this and weekly, you know, we're ministering to people and so forth and so on, and as you're doing your ministry, you know what you're doing behind closed doors, but you're putting on a face to everybody else that this is who you are. And you're telling others what the Word of God says, and you're not living up to the Word of God. These are things we are confronted with on a regular basis. Daily, we have choices to make, and you have to come to the place where I said, you know, in our determination of heart is to do right no matter what. So when I'm afraid, I still must do right. When I'm not afraid, I must do right. When my emotions lead me to the wrong way, I must have integrity and I must do right. When my emotions are fine, I must do right. When I'm amongst Christians, committed Christians, I must do what's right. When I'm amongst heathens, I must do what's right. I've got to do what's right no matter what. When my friends stand with me, I must do what's right. When my friends attack me, I still must do what's right. When my friends lie on me, you'd be surprised at the people that you're calling your friend and how they will go and say things about you, you know, that's not the truth. And they will lie on you. And just like Prophetess Kim said, you know, she was put in a predicament where she had to tell the truth about something, and people know that she told the truth about it. People are saying all kinds of things about her, but she still has to stand on what is right. And, baby, we're going to face people that are going to come up against us. We're going to face people that are going to leave us. We're going to face people that don't understand us. And the thing is, thanks to God, are we willing to do what's right no matter what?
Amen, Apostle, if I might chime in again.
Yes.
Amen. Something came to me as you were talking with integrity. And even those times where we don't do what's right, if we truly have an integrous character, God will convict us and we will have to make things right. So how do we handle it even when we make the wrong decision? Because
right.
That also is a reflection of our integrity. Well, I missed the
integrity.
Mark, but now let me learn from it and move forward. Let me right the wrong if I'm able to so that I can now move forward and not make the same mistake again. That's also, you know, because we're human. So we're going to, you know, we're going to fail sometimes. So how is it when I'm integrous, I have to go back and say, okay, you know what, God, that wasn't right. I'm sorry. Forgive me for this, or let me make it right with that person. And even when we're walking in integrity, we have an obligation and responsibility to be honest with people. And I'm not saying we call people out on every little thing, but we have to be honest with people when they have done things or said things against our what we know is right, so that we don't walk in offense, Because if we don't share what's right by God, then we are also a partaker in what's taking place. So sometimes it puts us in a place where we have to speak out, even if we're not the one that's necessarily doing the act. Of course, it has to be in the right context. And I'm not saying you go around telling everything, but there are times where we do have to speak out and say, you know what, this is not right, what's going on. I had a situation on a job where the married principal was sleeping with one of the teachers, and it became very toxic. Now, of course, I'm not going to anybody's marriage and all of that, but there were things that were going on because of the relationship that were affecting the workplace. So then you have to speak up about those things, because we knew it was just a lot of toxicity going on, and people had to speak up and say, listen, I'm being treated unfairly. You're favoring this one. No one said why, even though they knew why. But, you know, our integrity will just cause us to stand for right, cause us to stand for truth, even when we make mistakes. And the scripture that came to me was, when we have an ought with our brethren, before we come to the altar and leave our sacrifice, we have to make things right with our brother or sister. That's also integrity. So if I got something against you, I need to clear that thing up so that I'm in right standing with God. So integrity goes in so many facets and arenas, you know, but it's important that we always, as godly, able, walk in integrity and have the standards of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And saints of God, the word integrity, it is in the Bible, okay? I don't want you to think that this was not something that God didn't address. It was in the Bible. In Genesis in chapter 20, the Bible referred to the integrity of Amalek's heart. God said about Job, he holdeth fast his integrity. Job himself said, I will not remove my integrity from me. And Jesus said, that without me, you can do nothing. And listen, and if you've got any integrity, it's not just because you have it naturally. If you really got it, it's because God gave it to you. You got the integrity. He gave us integrity. God wants us to be right in what it is that we do. And I thank you so much, our prophetess, for pointing out that in all of our wanting to do what's right according to the standards of God's word, we mess up, we make mistakes, we err. The integrity part of it is the fact that admit I was wrong. I was wrong, and I got to right that thing and go back to the people that you wronged and make it right, whether you are comfortable in it or not. But that's, remember, I started this off by saying the easiest person to be deceived, the easiest person to be deceived is really the person that you see in the mirror, because you will convince yourself. Remember, your brain will do whatever it has to do to get you what you need. You will convince yourself that you need something that totally comes against the word of God. And because you are convinced of it, your mind will do what it takes to get that thing so that you could be satisfied mentally. You'll be satisfied physically, whatever the case may be, because you are convinced that it is a need that you have. And so you make decisions based on that need. A lot of us, we know what, you know, I want this. You know, I want this, you know, but if I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. But you don't say that about your needs. Your need, I need this. I need this. And you'd be surprised at some of the things that we convince ourselves that we need. You'd be surprised. And we are making decisions based on, it should be based with our character. It should come with integrity. We should be making decisions. But out of this, we're making more decisions dealing with our fleshly needs. And then when we do, whatever the consequences that are there, we even lie to ourselves or we justify them. We listen, oh my God, listen. I love this. The minister I was listening to last night, when he talked about how we justify our the lies basically that we tell ourselves. We justify these. We justify what we say we need when we really don't need it. It's what we want with a strong feeling, but we justify it. And bless him, he said, justify to him means just a lie. And I was like, oh my goodness. He said, in those cases, when we justify what's wrong, it's just a lie. But we use that lie to justify what it is that we want to do instead of being honest with ourselves. Being honest with ourselves and then honest with others. I'm telling you, it is a trying thing. And saints, as saints of God, we deal with this on a daily basis. And I love the fact that making better decisions causes us to have fewer regrets. Making better decisions will cause us to have fewer regrets. All types of things come to a head because we made a decision that just was not the right decision to make. And when we do that, we're not the only ones affected. Our families are infected. Our friends are affected. Our churches are affected. The country, if you're someone that's in a decision-making role for the country, the city, the state, everybody is affected by the decision that you make. Do you, and caller, I see you. I'm coming to you. So, but do you want to make a decision that is only good for you or that's going to make you look good to somebody instead of making the decision that is right no matter what position it puts you in? Caller, your last four digits, 2649. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. This is Lester. This is George's husband.
Yes, sir. How are you, Lester? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. God is good all the time.
All the time. Yes, sir.
I just have a couple of just small things to say. I think a lot of times what happened is we wind up having a desire for something, and then we desire so much, we turn it into a want. And then after we want it, then we try to justify it as a need. I think it leads from mm-hmm. one direction to another where we don't mm-hmm. really, it's not really a need. It started off as mm-hmm. a desire, then we just wanted it so bad, then we internally convert it to what we need because that's what we want ourselves. But, you know, God say he will supply all our needs. So when God supplies our needs, it's a need that he knows that we need, not a need that we already converted our mind to say, I need this. And mm-hmm. and just like Prophetess Kim was saying, I totally agree. It's integrity is who we are when we are by ourselves. What do we do when nobody else is around watching us?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do the things that we should do when nobody else around, then it invariably won't change when somebody
That's
else
right.
is around. So
That's right.
we have to be honest with ourselves, like what you said. We have to be honest with ourselves in who are we actually, and that's who we are when nobody is watching us. What do we do when we home and you see things that need to be done? Do we leave them alone till somebody come and then we take care of it, or do we just take care
mm-hmm.
of it because we know it needs to be done? And that's
mm-hmm.
that's where the integrity come in at. And that goes on in further in our lives, because once we begin to be integritous to ourselves, then it automatically helps us to be integritous around others because that's who we really are.
Yeah.
And I was listening to CBN where they talked about the two greatest commandments, where God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the things I was sharing with my wife is one of our biggest problems is because we don't love ourselves, we love our neighbors like we love ourselves, but we don't even love ourselves, so we take advantage of them just like we take advantage of our own selves. We first have to learn how to love ourselves so that we can love our neighbors. Because if we don't love ourselves, then we can't love our neighbors. And I just wanted to just say that. That's all.
Well, that's good, sir. That's good. And I thank you for chiming in. I really appreciate it. I love for the men to chime in on our show because I love it because most of my listeners are women. And when there are men on the show, you know, I love for them to chime in so that that the other listeners will know this is just not a bunch of women getting together and talking smack, okay? To hear what the men have to say, and that's so vitally important. And something that you said, it was right there. It was right there. Okay, somebody else, it looks like your wife got her hand up. So I'm going to go to that, and prayerfully the Holy Spirit will bring back something that you said that I wanted to pick up on. Good morning, Joyce. How are you, sweetheart? Good morning.
I am fabulous and so honored that mighty man of God that I've gotten spoke up. Because
that's right.
I tell you, because as a person of mercy, I'm sitting here and I'm at the potter. Because I am trying to work that muscle. I'm trying to get that muscle. Mercy always wants me to kind of be wimpy when it comes to this type of stuff. And I am growing that muscle, and that's the reason why I wasn't speaking, because I know I needed to be a listener in this particular thing. And that's why sometimes when I listen to your program, I can't say nothing. It's too big for me. I'm trying to be watered and pruned and turned around and filled up and the whole nine yards. But that mighty man of God that God has given me, he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks that walk.
I was ready
to come on here and start singing, let the church say amen.
All right.
All right. That's all I got to say.
Okay. But isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a blessing when you said, you know, that your husband, he walks the walk, he talks the talk, but he walks out what it is that he talks. He's not double-minded. He's not, again, one way in one place and another way. And you know for sure that wherever your husband is, you know what character is going to be represented. You know his character. And that's
Amen.
A good thing. You know, so you can trust him. No matter where he is, no matter who's around him, you can trust him because you know this man's character and he has integrity. And everything that he can do to live up to the word of God, you know that's what your mate is doing. And that has got to be a great feeling. Has got to be. One of these days, Lord Jesus, one of these days. Look, I'm still waiting now for my cup of tea to be brought to me. I told you, you and Lester got me spoiled over here, okay? I'm still waiting for my cup of tea to come, you know? I'm waiting for that man that will do the right thing no matter what, all the time. To God be the glory, you know, to God be the glory.
Amen.
You remember that old song, Our Day Will Come?
And we'll have everything.
There you go. Yes. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I tell you, thanks to God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I just pray that even as, you know, one of the things, let me do this. One of the things, you know, because dealing with integrity, you know, there are questions you have to ask yourself. And so let me ask you this question. I'm going to throw this out there. What would you do if you knew that nobody would ever find out? if you could do something and you felt nobody would ever find out, you don't have to answer that on here now, but these are things to help us with integrity. What would you do? If you knew that you would never get caught, what would you do? You know, and what is stronger in your heart right now? Is it greed? Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. Or is it the integrity of things? Would you steal something if you knew that nobody would ever find out? What is stronger in your heart? Is lust stronger than your integrity? What would you look at if nobody knew you were looking at it? The pornography and so forth and so on. What would you do? Where would you go if nobody would ever find out? We all got answers to these things, y'all. These are things that we are confronted with. But you got to live not just with yourself, but with other people that our decisions affect. And understand this. Integrity says, I can't do this because I can't live with myself if I do. That is the integrity of heart. And again, with Prophetess Kim said, and if you do something and do it wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts you of it. Thanks to God, I don't care who you are. The Holy Spirit will convict you of something that you have done wrong if you are saved and the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit will convict you because that's the way that we are being transformed. You know, if we could continue to sin over and over and over again, there's no sacrifice for the sin. We have no conviction of the sin. Nothing is changing in us. Honey, the Holy Spirit isn't working in you. So, and that's not the Holy Spirit. There's something going on in you that's not happening. But when we are walking in the Word of God and trying to live pleasing unto God, when we are doing that, when we do wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And let me say this. Let me throw this out there. First, let me ask this to Kim and Lester and Joyce. Let me ask the three of you this real quick, and then I'll give my answer to this. When you are convicted, explain, because I had a conversation with somebody who didn't really understand what being convicted by the Holy Spirit is. What does it feel like? How do you know when you are convicted by the Holy Spirit? Could y'all describe what that conviction feels like, sounds like, whatever the case may be?
Wow. For me, I would say there's a, I don't want to use the word nagging, but I'll say a nagging, tugging feeling. It's like an uneasiness and unrestfulness until you do. It's a lack of peace. That's the easiest mm-hmm. way I could describe it,
right.
Is a lack of
mm-hmm.
peace when you know you're supposed to do something that you haven't done or you do something that you shouldn't have done. The conviction comes, and that's what it feels like. It's like remorse. Or even
mm-hmm.
even shame or guilt, a lot of those feelings can come up,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you've done something or operated contrary to what you should have done. That's for me personally, you know, that's what happens.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lester, what about you?
Well, I would say a lot of times God will keep reminding you. I mean, he'll even use other people, you know, something that you should have done. You will hear through other words through somebody else. Every time you turn around, it'll be something that don't work right. It'll be something that you wanted to try to achieve, and you realize that the Lord is not letting you achieve it until you do what he asked you to do first. And then you'll have people that will say things that don't even know what it is that you're being convicted by, and be saying things, and the Lord just brings that up to your remembrance, and it just goes on and on until you wind up doing it. And then once you wind up doing it, then you begin to feel a release. But if you don't ever
mm-hmm.
feel that release, you know it's still something in your heart that you still haven't done. And until you do it, you're just not going to feel right. It's that uncomfortability that prophet has just said. It's that uncomfortability just keep you on edge. I mean, it was a time years ago. I was at my mom's house and we went to buy something at, I think it was at Costco. I bought the stuff at Costco, and I had used a check to pay for it. And well, the lady that did the checkout, she checked me out, took my check, and wound up with my check back. And I went all the way back to my mom's house because I had got what I needed, and I still got this check. And the Lord made me take the check all the way back, take it back mm-hmm. to the lady, give it to her, tell her that she gave me my check back. But for the longest time, I stood over my mom's house, stood over there. But that conviction, you see, you know, if you don't do this, it's going to be something else that comes behind this. And
mm-hmm.
and you don't want the Lord out to chastise you. Because once he chastises mm-hmm. you, you'll never, ever forget it. And right away, your integrity increased 100%. So,
amen.
So that's what happens on my side.
Okay. All right. Joyce, what about you?
All right. Real quickly, recently I had a judgmental spirit with someone I was talking to that was sharing something
mm-hmm.
with me. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I judged and said something when I should have just prayed for him. I immediately, because I felt convicted, I prayed in the morning time for God to give me a check in my spirit when I
mm-hmm.
do things that are wrong. And he does. Don't ask him for something, because Lord have mercy, he'll give it to you. So the first thing I did, of course, is tell my husband. But then when we go to pray, we repent daily. Father, forgive me for the
yeah.
things that I've done that were against your, you know. So you know the deal.
Yeah. Amen, amen. All right, another caller, number, your last four digits, 4856. Good morning, beloved, and how are you today?
Good morning, Apostle Banks. I'm doing well. Good morning, everybody. I'll be quick, as I know I think the program is just about to be over. I managed to get enough courage to come on and say a comment. I really don't like speaking in front of groups, but I just wanted to I just had a conversation a few days ago with a friend, and I forgot how the conversation got started, but I was just saying after when I rededicated to Jesus a few years ago and I learned my lesson from that situation, that I'm doing the right thing no matter what. I'm not doing the things that maybe my flesh may want to do. Because you got to pay for that. And the regret of doing the wrong thing, my nerves can't take that no more. So I do what Jesus mm-hmm. say to do, whether I like it or not, no matter what the, you know, consequences may be, you know, with other people. You know, I like to be in harmony with other people naturally and all of that. And I prefer to, you know, to be, you know, things to be nice with people. But, you know, if I may find myself in the same situation, like with Prophetess Kim was saying, you know, where you got to do the right thing and things may not be, you know, with other people, they may not like that. I just rather deal with being right with God, and then I just have to deal with whatever the situation with people. But I just need to be
yeah.
right with God. I need to be in his good graces, because I did not
mm-hmm.
come out of that situation I was in until I repented and cried out to him, and that's when I came out. So I just need to be right with God. I just need
Amen.
To know if he's, you know, pleased with me, because nothing else is going matter. Nothing else. If you're not right with him and got him, you know, it don't matter. Things are not going to bode well in the end. So for me, anyway, that's the decision I came to. So, and I'm at peace with him, and I have his peace, and that's all that matters. That's where I need to stay. So
mm-hmm.
I'm doing the right, and not to say that I'm not going to make mistakes, but and not
right.
intentionally like I was used to. I don't do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a
mm-hmm.
good place to be, and this is where I'm staying. This is where I'm staying. Forever. But I learned my lesson, like the gentleman just said. Some things you learn 100%. Yeah, I learned it 100, 1,000%. You better do what God says to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your input, woman of God. Thank you so much. So much. Now, another question I'm going to throw out here to y'all. Another question. You have a friend that says that they're a Christian and so forth, and your friend continues even after speaking with you and you pointing certain things out, your friend continues to walk in sin, and without, they say they feel no conviction. Okay, they say that they don't feel bad about what it is that they're doing. They don't feel bad about it. How do you minister to that person? What do you say to them? Any of you can jump in on that one.
For me, at that point, I have to pray for you. And depending on what the actions are, I have a case, Apostle. I had a friend for probably 30 years. And I pray for him to this day, but I had to cut connections because he was operating in very unethical, lack of integrity kinds of things, and I couldn't stay connected to it. So I still pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was married and doing all kinds of crazy things. And once I talked to you, and, you know, I share with you, and you know, right, he knew right from wrong. He just was making a conscious choice. Then I just have to pray for you. And if God lead, I will talk. But other than that, I had to distance myself because there was too many things going on, and I didn't want it to contaminate my spirit or affect me in any way. So I had to disconnect from him and continue to pray. But this was a long time kind of thing, and it's just like, okay, you know what, you just really don't care. So I couldn't stay connected because it was just involving mistreatment of people. It was just horrible. It was just a horrible thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a mess. So I continue to pray. I even pray for him to this day, but that's how I had to handle that particular situation.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. Anybody else want to say how they feel that they would handle something like that?
Well, I got a fellow anyhow that I don't know if he's really doing many more things in sin, but when he would bring things to me, I would ask him, is he ready to accept the Lord to be his Lord and Savior and stop leaning to his own understanding? And his comment was that, you know, he wouldn't want to hear what I had to say, but he wanted me to hear what he had to say. So I just continue to pray for him. And until he begins to say that he really wants the Lord to be his Savior, I just have to leave him to himself, but not stop praying mm-hmm. for him. I listen to the, you know, he'll come by, and I just let him talk. One of my prayers every morning is, Lord, help me to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. I just
mm-hmm.
listen because God always wants you to listen, even if he don't want you to act. It's not that we got to keep acting every time we hear something. We can listen with no response. And,
mm-hmm.
and once that conversation over, you don't have to agree or argue or go whatever. I just pray and I just let the individual go on itself and just ask that the Lord will provide him an avenue that he will realize that he too needs to repent, give his life to Christ and be saved and not walk into his own being and let God be his being.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. So thanks to God, y'all have all been a blessing today. I really appreciate all of the input that we had from you as our listeners. To God be all the glory. I pray with the topic that we're dealing with, you know, that God convicts each and every, Holy Spirit convicts each and every one of us if ever we are not walking in the manner in which we should, and that we would never, ever be comfortable in our wrongdoing. Sometimes, you know, in the wrongdoing, there's sin And then there's moral injustice. You know, just morally, it's not the right thing to do. It's just not the right thing to do morally. And that we will always let the word of God be the standard by which we judge ourselves, not by the world's standard, not by what my flesh says, my own standard, but by what God says. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us. That's how much Jesus loves us, how much God loves us. God loved us so much that he let his son come and become sin for us so that we would be free from sin, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, that we would not be a slave to sin. And then he knew how hard it would be for us to make that transition on our own. We can't do it on our own. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit to come in and to convict us and to shape us and to mold us into what it is that God wants us to be. The reason why he gave his son, he didn't want us to stay in this sin-sick place. He didn't want us to have that same frame of mind. He did not want it. And so he gave us what we needed so that we would make good decisions, that we would make good decisions. And the better the decisions we make, the fewer the regrets that we will have. So let us all start first and foremost of being honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves. Go before the Lord, repent. Go before the Lord, repent. Turn away from our ways and go running back to God and being who it is that God designed us to be. He's given us the ability to do it. It's not always going to feel good, saints of God, but trust me, you will be better off. You will be better off. God will bless you out of your obedience. He will bless you. Saints of God, I love you. We have run 10 minutes over time, 12 minutes over time. I do thank each and every one of you, you know, for your comments. Everybody, be back here again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you. I love you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.